Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We call this trade deadline week. It's what happens when you're in last place around here. Luke is out in Owings Mills doing all things Ravens this week. We are expecting, we're hoping there'll be less news in Owings Mills this week than there will be down at the warehouse. The baseball trading deadline coming on Thursday, and football happening, but not as fast as Luke probably would like it to happen or anybody else at this point. Certainly, Mike Elias is going to have his hands full this weekend. We predicted good things for the Orioles against the worst team on earth over the weekend. It certainly felt that way on Saturday. It didn't feel that way on Friday, but I don't know. Update us, Luke. You go to the ballpark from time to time, and you're after working on that NFL August tan that you're about to have here. Trade deadline. It's been a slowish start for the Orioles in the trade deadline. No shocker there, but I have a feeling by Thursday night we're going to have a pretty transformative major league roster at least.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be surprised if we're not talking about at least a couple more deals. As I've said to you before, I mean, you still need to make deals that make sense. I mean, I also don't think you just trade guys just for the sake of doing it if you don't feel like you're getting anything of value. But I think, and Sunday is a perfect example. Tomoyuki Sugano, who, as we know, has not trended in a great direction over, say, what, the last 6 weeks or so. He pitched really well on Sunday. Velocity was up, was missing bats, actually. That even was better than just saying the results of, oh, he gave up one run in six innings. So,
Well, he didn't turn 35, come over to America for the first time to play in a last place team. So wherever they send him, it'll be a blessing for him. It'll be a
sure.
Konnichiwa Arigato.
Well, but at the same time, and I think you've talked to enough players, whether we're talking about baseball players, football players, whatever the sport might be, being traded also is tough. There is an anxiety and a challenge that goes with that. But certainly with the way things have gone for the Orioles this year, and to your point, when Tomoyuki Sugano decided to make the jump from Japan to the majors, he thought he was joining a team that was going to win. We all thought the Orioles were going to win in some capacity. It hasn't worked out that way, and
I bet he's
he's
pissed at his agent.
well. I mean, I maybe not. At the same time, were any other teams offering him $13 million,
That's a
right?
great
So,
point. That's a great point.
look, I mean, I think overall, and he's talked about this via his translator, I think he's been happy with his experience with the Orioles, just in a general sense in terms of the clubhouse and getting along with teammates and all of that. No one's happy with the results in the field. We get that. But he pitched well on Sunday. That was good to see. We're going to see Zach Eflin here one more time. We're going to see Charlie Morton here one more time, unless they get dealt before they're scheduled to start against the Toronto Blue Jays over the next few days. And you're going to see. We've already seen the bullpen be transformed with Brian Baker dealt at the beginning of the month, Gregory Soto dealt late last week. Sir Anthony Dominguez closed out, wasn't a save situation, but closed out Sunday's win. I expect he's going to be dealt because, honestly, of their healthy pitchers, now that we're excluding Felix Bautista, he's probably been the most intriguing in terms of how he's pitched overall since, I don't know, mid-May, late May. I think Dominguez has pitched really well. So, again,
You might get
and
the most for him.
yeah, and I was just going to say, and I've said this before, they're not going to get any earth-shattering franchise forming, franchise transcending kind of talents in these trades that they're going to make, I assume, right? I mean, we're talking about guys on expiring deals. We're not talking about superstar players that they're dealing. We can get to talking about dealing members of the young core maybe over the winter. I still think that's the most, if you're going to deal anyone like that, I still think that's going to be the most likely time where you make a bigger deal like that. So when you're talking about these deals, I mean, look at the Soto deal, for example. They got two pitchers from the Mets. The one guy profiles to maybe be part of their bullpen here over the next calendar year, Cameron Foster. But the other guy, Wellington Arocena, is a really, interesting single-A pitcher right now with kind of a profile that he might pop into something over the next couple of years, but he's not going to help them next year, most likely. So you're kind of weighing what you want to get in these deals. Yeah, you can get some guys that are closer to the major leagues, but they're probably low ceiling kind of guys that are going to be, kind of like what they have in their bullpen right now. When you kind of look at the back end of their pen with Colin Selby and Cade Stroud and Yarmil Geraldo and Grant Wolfram. I mean, these are guys that, okay, you can say they're major league pitchers. Are they
Everybody's
really?
like, who the hell are these
Yeah,
guys?
and to
My
be
wife's never heard of any of those guys because she hadn't watched a team play in
right.
3 weeks, three
And in
weeks.
fairness, every team has those guys on their 40-man roster. Even good teams have guys like that on the back end of their 40-man roster. So that's where I kind of look at this trade deadline and just say, temper your expectations. Not that they shouldn't make some trades, and they've already made a couple, and I expect they're going to make a few more, but I just don't know what you're really going to get that's really going to change their trajectory for next year. I mean, for next year, it's about what are they going to do in the offseason in terms of pitching? How are their health, their pitchers like Kyle Bradish, who we expect to see over the next month or so back in the major leagues. And also on the position player side, what's the state of their young core? I'll mention this in passing. Tyler O'Neill homered in three straight games, right? I mean, we're finally starting to see a version of Tyler O'Neill that resembles what they thought they were going to get. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm going to guarantee or have any confidence that he's going to stay healthy moving forward. But the point is, these last 2 months are all about trying to take inventory of what you're going to have left. It's going to look ugly in some aspects. Other aspects could be a little more interesting, right? Because you're going to see Kyle Bradish back, presumably in late August, assuming all goes well with his rehab assignment. Tyler Wells is going to start his rehab assignment this week. Doesn't mean that I'm going to say these guys are going to pitch great when they come back, but it sure beats them being on the 60-day IL. And certainly in the case of Bradish, it's something that you can hopefully assess and then take that into the offseason and say, all right, we're not going to say he's going to be our number one. We don't know we're going to get the peak Kyle Bradish right away coming back from Tommy John surgery, but we can at least feel good enough to say he's going to be in our rotation, which right now, Grayson Rodriguez, in contrast, I don't think you can say that in any shape or form, whether he's going to end up having surgery here in the not too distant future or not. So you have that going on, but yeah, they're going to make some trades here. They're going to get some pieces that, you'll identify a guy or two where you say, okay, that could help. That could be interesting. That might be able to help them. That guy might project as their sixth inning reliever next year. That guy
Well, it's
might
almost
be.
all you're doing is talk about pitching. Like, it's like all they're going to get are arms, right? Like, I don't expect them to deal for another catcher or a shortstop.
Well, certainly not a
Right?
catcher, especially after they just drafted two catchers, right?
Right.
I mean, so look, I mean, I'm not going to say it's impossible that they wouldn't deal for a position player, but I think that's obviously the emphasis here, right? I mean, I think we all expect that. I mean, we're already, we've already been talking about when's Masayo arriving. Are they going to call up Dylan Beavers, who's played very, very well at Triple A, and I think has a chance to be in the mix for them, for next year. Not, again, these aren't guarantees, but these are guys that in your top 10 in your, in Masayo's case, one of the very best prospects in baseball. In Beaver's case, at least interesting enough to look at him as, a few years later, a Kyle Stowers kind of guy, right? Which I'm
Well, it's
not saying he's going to
crazy
be that
that
guy.
Basayo's a better prospect than Mayo is all of a sudden, or Kerstad, or all these guys that were ahead of him in the food chain.
Well, I think so. I don't think it's so much. I think that was more so just the product of his age. I mean, he's still only 20 or, you're talking about someone who's very young at Triple A. He's a prodigy in that way. I mean, there's still some unknown in terms of where he ultimately is going to settle from a position player standpoint. Will he catch a whole lot? Will he transition to be more of a first baseman? I mean, he might ultimately be more of a DH overall, but everyone universally loves the bat. You see Baseball America types talk about him that maybe he might be the Orioles version of Yordan Alvarez in Houston, right? Which, if he's anything close to that, holy cow, I mean, you're talking about a cleanup hitter there, a legitimate one. So, but until he gets here, it's still just hope and hype and
Well, we never would have thought
optimism.
that Santander was going to hit 40 home runs, right? So,
No,
like,
and he wasn't
when
that
these
guy.
things project out.
Yeah, and Santander wasn't that guy on an annual basis, but he became a legitimate 25, 30 home run guy as a former Rule 5 pick. I'm still, I think you could tell by the tone of how I'm talking about this trade deadline, I'm way more intrigued about those elements more so than who they're going to get back in these deals, because I just don't think it's going to be a whole lot. I think you can come away with a couple pieces that pop. I mean, like for example, when the Orioles traded Jorge Lopez, I remember you and I vividly talking about that 3 years ago. I didn't love the trade. I'm not a scout. I'm not a MLB talent evaluator. They did get Yennier Cano out of it, and I know Cano's had his ups and downs this year, but that right there alone, if it had just been Jorge Lopez for Yennier Cano straight up, the Orioles still won that trade. And you know that's tossing aside anyone else they got in that deal. So you know, so you never really know. But again, you look at these pieces. You know, you're talking about bullpen arms. You're talking about starting pitchers who haven't been that great. I mean, I think of their three starters. I still think Charlie Morton's probably the most intriguing at this point. I mean, Eflin has a track record that's better than what we've seen here of late, but you're going to be going off of one or two starts for Zach Eflin that, you know, if he pitches great in the opener, then okay. But
You might be Jack Flaherty for a team in the pennant race, right?
I mean, yeah, right. And you never really know. I mean, we've talked about this when the Orioles have been buyers over the years. You know, as much oxygen that's spent on the trade deadline, most of these deals across the board, not just the Orioles that what they've been involved in, most of these deals don't end up doing a whole lot, right? They don't end up moving the needle a whole lot.
Well,
For
I
every deal
also
that
think that if I'm the excited team right now, if I'm a Blue Jays fan or I'm a Padres fan or I'm in whoever's in the chase, any of these teams that are in the chase, if you deal for Eflin or Sagano or Charlie Morton, maybe Morton, to your point, you'd be like, well, we got something. We got a guy that's going to take the ball every fifth day. I don't know if you know what you're getting at this point. And this, that's why I mentioned Flaherty from 2 years ago, because we all thought, well, there's an arm that's going to be in that's going to make a start in October. And he barely made starts in September because they just didn't like where he was. I don't know that I like where Eflin is right this minute.
Sure, I think that's fair, and I'm a Zach Eflin guy, but let's call a spade. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's been on the IL multiple times this year, and other than earlier in the year, he hasn't pitched particularly well. So, is one or two starts going to change perception? I mean, I just mentioned Sagano. Sagano was really good on Sunday. I mean, he struck out eight. He was missing bats. The velocity was up a little bit. You know, I mean, he was touching 95 miles per hour. I don't think that's, you know, that's not the every start version of Sagano that you're going to get, but it does speak to, hey, if you're a team that, you know, especially if you're a team that has relatively decent weather, you know, we've kind of talked about that element, how he struggled in some of the heat and humidity, although it didn't seem to bother him on Sunday, so that was nice to see. But, you know, what exactly are you getting? I mean, let's face it. When you see some of the names that are out there, and I thought it was interesting late Sunday night. I mean, Seth Lugo is someone who's been talked about on, you know, on the radar of many people for a pitcher to be traded. And look what ends up happening with him. He ends up signing an extension with the Royals, right? I mean, I thought what happened with Seth Lugo was something that might happen with the Orioles and Zach Eflin 6 weeks ago, right before Eflin struggled as mightily as he did and ended up getting hurt. You know, with the back issue. So I assume that's not in the cards. I mean, you never know, but you know, but that right there, people were talking about Lugo quite a bit as, oh, he's going to be one of the better starting pitchers available at this trade deadline, and Kansas City ends up extending him instead. So it still very much feels like a seller's market. That's where, you know, if you're trying to put a silver lining on what's been such a bitterly disappointing season for the Orioles, that, you know, you'd like to think you can do a little bit better on your returns, but again, who are you talking about here? I thought the Orioles did very well on both the Brian Baker and the Gregory Soto deals. That doesn't mean that any of those pieces are going to amount to anything meaningful for them. It's just looking at it practically speaking in terms of what you're giving up. You know, I mean, none of these, this isn't trading Manny Machado, right? This isn't trading Colton Cowser, if you decided to trade Colton Cowser over the winter or something along those lines. I mean, these are all, you know, expiring deals, veterans, guys that have some good, some bad in terms of their performance this year. And, you know, Cedric Mullins, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a beautiful night for him on Saturday. I thought that was really cool to see. Hits a home run, makes a phenomenal diving catch. To me, it felt a little bit like, if you recall, Think back to 3 years ago. Trey Mancini had that inside the park home run, and Orioles fans were able to give him his flowers at it for his last home game before he was traded. Saturday night kind of felt that way for Mullins. That being said, we've also talked about it. Cedric Mullins since May 1st has not been very good. So I'm not saying there isn't a team that would take him off your hands, and there isn't a team that wouldn't find a use for him. But are they giving you something that's really going to shift or move the needle in any way in terms of what you're getting back? Probably not.
Yeah, you're
So,
not getting a 30-30 player back.
Right. I mean,
Let
and
me just
Cedric Mullins.
reset this. Luke is here. Luke will be out in Owings Mills. Orioles are on the trading deadline. I wanted to bring up Trevor Rogers, just as a year ago this week, a month ago this week, 2 months ago this week, everybody hated that trade. Everybody's upset because Stowers is an all-star and whatnot for another also-ran team in Miami at this point. The Orioles get 2 or 3 years of starts out of Trevor Rogers, and he's at the top of the rotation next year, makes 29 starts for the team, and it looks anything like the last 6 weeks has looked like. We judge these things the way we judge the Ravens draft the day after Matt Elam or Breshad Perryman or Sergio Kindle.
Yeah, I mean, it really is a reminder, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone. We all do it. We always talk about sample size in baseball. We
Because we're
always,
dear every day, we have to
yeah.
evaluate it.
Oh, of
We don't
course,
have a
of
choice of
course.
waiting a year to evaluate Trevor
No, of
Rogers.
course. I mean, it doesn't matter how many times me or how many times I, you, whoever it might be, will say, "Hey, early in the season, you got to let it breathe, right? It's early. It's early." How many times you talk about a player, he gets off to a rough start in April and people are flipping out, and then you look at their numbers and that player ends up looking more like that guy over the course of the season. But we also know that sometimes it doesn't happen that way. Hey, the Orioles got off to a rough start in April. In mid-April, I think both of us were still kind of believing that they were going to play better baseball, and never happened. Or it did happen, but they were so bad through the third week of May that it was over then, right? I mean, and it's like, okay, they've been a 500-ish team since then. Well, it was too late then, right? I mean, you weren't good enough. You are what you are. You're a last place team. But in the case of Rodgers, obviously the early return on the deal was a disaster, because let's be clear about this. As much as Mike Elias, and he to his in his defense, I don't want to say to his credit, in his defense, he said at the time that that deal was made also with an eye towards 2025 and 2026, because he's under club control through next season. But they also did acquire him to help out the back of the rotation in 2024. And he did nothing of the sort. He was so horrible in four starts that they sent him to AAA and he didn't pitch again last year. So the initial return of the deal was an absolute failure, because he didn't help them at all last year. So that said, Rodgers went to work over the offseason. The Orioles, player development and their pitching coaches, all of that. They made some adjustments with him as far as keeping his front side a little bit more closed up. He was able to add a couple miles per hour back to his fastball velo, which, he had when he was a standout all-star in Miami back in 2021, when he was kind of this rookie sensation and everyone thought, oh my gosh, this guy's going to be a Cy Young candidate. And, instead just kind of regressed from there. Had very much a, not a spiral, but certainly a decline over the last few years leading up to his trade last year. But it is a
That's why
reminder
we
that
got him for a quad A outfielder.
that's what, yeah. I mean, and look, the Orioles deserve blame for how they handled Kyle Stowers. There's no doubt about that, right? And at the very least, even if you didn't, even if it was a case of not handling him well, why couldn't you make the adjustment that the Marlins were able to unlock, right? And we know that happens in the same way that the Orioles
What would have saved you a
help.
lot of money on Tyler O'Neill?
Sure, but in the same way that the Orioles figured out how to help Ryan O'Hearn in a way that the Kansas City Royals couldn't for years. Every team has these stories, right? So I'm not even picking on the Orioles about one specific case like that. But, in this case, they were able to get Rodgers turned around. They lost Stowers. Norby is what it is. But you are seeing a way better version of Trevor Rogers. And let's be clear, he's not going to pitch to a 1.5 ERA next year, right? Everything about his peripheral stats would tell you, okay, this guy isn't Randy Johnson, right? He's not striking out, 13 guys per nine innings or anything like that. But he's pitching well. Even the peripheral stats, like I'm looking at FIP right now. It's fielding independent pitching. And I'm not going to bore you with the details of it, but FIP is a number that is meant to closely resemble ERA. His FIP is 2.84. So that tells you, even with the idea that, okay, this guy's not going to continue to pitch to a sub two, one and a half ERA, he's still pitching really well, right? So even that regret, even with
Pitching
some
well enough
regression,
to take the ball every fifth day,
yeah,
give you a chance to
exactly.
win.
He's been really good. I mean, there's let me be clear. I'm not dismissing what he's done. I'm just saying, yeah, let's not. I don't think he's going to win the Cy Young. I
I
don't
don't
think
know
he's
with
going to
the
be that
pitching
guy,
thing, the modern
but.
thing, when these guys go 5 innings anyway, no matter who they are, you're either Corbin Burns or you're something else. And
Yeah.
that something else is somewhere between Dean Kramer and Sugano and Eflin and all the pitchers we've seen here, which is his ERA is a 4 or 5 something, something, something. Some days it'll be a three
Yeah.
something, but most days it'll be a 4 or 5. Most days this is he's going to give you 5 innings, you're going to give up 3 or 4 runs. Like that's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to look like for most of these pitchers who
Yeah.
aren't Corbin Burns. If Rogers is that, if he's Dean Kramer for the next 3 years, I would accept that at this point. What we've seen the last 4 weeks has been, tremendous,
I mean,
honestly.
he's been excellent. I mean, he really has been. He's been really, really good. And it hasn't even just been that. He's gotten deep into games. I mean, he's pitched,
If
what,
Kyle
he had.
Bradish came back and had these numbers the last 5 weeks, you'd be to the moon.
Sure, no question. I mean, he doesn't strike. Rogers doesn't strike out people at the clip that someone like Bradish, when he's at his best, can do. But he's missing enough bats. He's pitching well. He's really limited the walks. What, he has 13 walks in 48 and a third innings. That's been really good to see. I mean, he's been really, really good. Let's be clear. And I would say the same thing if Kyle Bradish comes back in late August and has five starts and looks close to Kyle Bradish pre-injury. I'm not saying that you pencil in Trevor Rogers as your opening day starter and your ace. No. That you don't want to make that mistake again in the way that they did that with Grayson Rodriguez this past year. But he's certainly looking like someone that you feel really good about putting in your starting rotation next year. And whether that means he's the two, the three, the four, or the five, you need five guys, regardless of the order that they're in. So he's been really good. That's been good to see. Hey, I've seen some people mention it in passing, and I certainly wouldn't subscribe to it, but I'm sure there's teams that are calling the Orioles about Trevor Rogers right now. I mean, like, hey, I would assume that you'd have to pay an arm and a leg to get him because, I mean, someone's got to be in their rotation next year if they want to contend, right? And Rogers looks like someone you want in your rotation next year. So, but. I'm sure they're getting calls about him in the same way that they were getting calls about Felix Bautista before the shoulder started barking on him. So, it's been a good development for as much as there's been so much lousy about this team in so many different ways, even talking about some of these trade deadline candidates not performing at a level that you'd like to see leading into the deadline. But Trevor Rogers he's been excellent. And I get it. It was the Rockies on Saturday night, but he's had some really good performances here. Had a great outing against the Rays, his first outing out of the break. So that's been good to see. So as we're talking about them moving on from some of these other starters that, have mostly been disappointing, let's say. I mean, Morton's been good since mid-May, but terrible the first 6 weeks. Eflin was really good the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. First 2 months, I guess, but he was injured then. He's had stints on the IL and hasn't been very good. Sugano was really good the first 2.5 months, not so good since then. So what's that going to add up to in terms of trades? Are all three of them traded? Are two of them traded? Just one? I mean, my guess right now would be we'll see two of them traded. I don't know if we'll see all three, but what are you going to get in return? We'll see. I
And
don't
who's going to
have.
pitch for this team next week if you keep
Sure,
three
sure. I
starters?
mean that's not what's driving the decision, but that goes back to what I said. That's where you're not just giving these guys away just for the sake of doing it. You're hoping to get something in a deal where you say, you know what? We like that guy when he came out of the draft. We didn't get to draft him, but we like that prospect. We like this guy. We think we can make an adjustment with this guy. We're going to see how
Well,
it
how
plays out,
further
but.
you want to drive this thing into the gutter of last place and deplete the team further? to pick up, to your point, Quad A, you
Yeah.
know, some Dominican kid
And
who's
they're going to
19
make
years
some
old,
trade, and
right? Yeah.
they're going to make deals because they're going to get
Yeah.
some. They'll get a couple pieces here and there that's better than that, but I know these deals sometimes are a little more complicated to make, especially when you're trying to figure out who the heck is actually buying and selling, and you've got teams that are hovering around 500 that'll talk themselves into it, and other teams that you think are buyers and they end up selling a little bit. So there's still some mystery here, but again, for me, I'm much more of the thought, let's get to the other side of this, see what your roster looks like the rest of the way, and then play Kobe Mayo every day and call up Bisayo and play him every, like I'm much more interested in that element of the trade deadline, more so than thinking that they're going to restock their farm system in this overly meaningful way. I think they can get a couple guys here and there that might be able to help them over the next couple of years, but I don't think this is going to be a transformative deadline other than just what we're going to see on the major league roster here in the short term.
If anybody calls it a haul before Thursday night, I
I'd be
want them to
surprised.
figure out what a haul is going to be. Luke will be in the halls of Owings Mills as well as the backfields of Owings Mills this week. You can find him at Baltimore Luke. We are on to August. We are on to the trading deadline. We're on to all sorts of things. We're on to our 27th anniversary, which begins this weekend. We're going to be eating some good food next week. I actually got one of the items on my 27 list over the weekend. So it's going to be a great, great August and a great summer here as we get ready for Buffalo in football. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.